if we ever are going to fulfill the purpose for which Jesus left us here, unity is our strongest witness. Did you know that? Unity is our strongest witness.
So what happened? How come we're not unified? If Jesus is praying for unity, why then do we have all the splits and divisions within inside the church? Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon will answer that very question here today. Has God's prayer, has Jesus's prayer to the Father really failed? Did God say, oh, I'll answer most of it, but yeah, not that one. Unity? No, let's keep it all divided. Or is something else going on in this prayer? Let's explore it together, shall we? Let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon in John chapter 17 for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
No. That's a big error. It's not a man. It's the ministry that's handed down, the word that's handed down throughout history. It's a succession of the word, of the ministry. And Jesus spoke that we would all be kept by this word. So that the very thing that happened to them in being kept, we are being kept. Now that's why I say today in the first point here, in the first point of this prayer, do you see how important the ministry is to you today of Jesus' word to you? When you believe in him through this ministry of the word, you too have kept the word. You too have passed from death to life. You too who have received the word and believed in Jesus is evidence that Jesus has answered, the Father has answered this prayer of his son. So you need to stop and say, look at the success today. This is, I think, what we need more than ever in our day right now is to understand the success of Christianity. We don't seem to get this. We feel like a defeated bunch. Feel like nothing marvelous is happening. And the ministry is a huge success to the ends of the earth. You're here, aren't you? And this simple, great question that we ask, if you can answer in sincerity, do you believe this word? Do you know all that God has done to make that so to you? You didn't do that on your own. I've referenced this before, but all these years there have been faithful pastors who've been given to you. There have been catechism teachers. There have been your teachers in the home. Think of your parents who've cared about you, boys and girls. Think if you've gone to school where there's a Christian worldview. Think of how much has been given to you. All of this is given to you. That the ministry that's been handed and that you've believed is evidence of the Lord answering this prayer. I think of how much is working against this to this day. Look at how much struggle we have to do this. Look at how much difficulty today. Look at how much hardship. We can't really see behind the scenes of the spiritual darkness that is all working against this. And here we are. Stop and look at it. Here we are. You talk with some of those here in the church who go down to Mexico. They're planting churches down there. Here we are. We're still doing it. Here we are to the ends of the earth today. The word is still being preached with a method and a means that the world has by and large said is the most unproductive and foolish things you could ever do. Nobody lectures anymore in the colleges, do they? Well, preaching's not a lecture. But here we are. And if the Lord continues this, you will be dead and gone real soon. I hate to be told discouraging, but real soon you're going to be dead and gone. And what are you worried about? Well, you're worried about those little ones sitting here. And then you're going to have grandchildren. And you're worried about great-grandkids. And you think, how in the world are they going to make it in this world? How in the world are they? How did you ever make it in this world? You think you made it better than anyone else? You never made it in this world. You've been kept in this world. I pray for those. Think about this now. I pray for those who will believe. They've already been given to the Son. They can't be taken from the Son. I pray for those who will believe. I will not lose one of them. So I'm going to pray for them, Father, that you keep them through the word. You know, every time you worry about the future for your kids and your grandkids and your future, I want you to stop and I want you to read John 17:20. 17:20, over and over. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us. You think that prayer is not heard? You're proof it's been heard. So stop the fear. Right? Jesus prayed that the word would be given. And as some of you struggle even raising children in the midst of this, and you see them make choices and things that happen and they seem to go this way and that way, we have to trust that this word is powerful to bring them back. This is the Lord's, what he's saying to us today. That's the first thing. That's the first thing, that we would know the Son and the Father the same way the apostles knew the Son and the Father through the ministry of the word. The second thing that he's saying here is somewhat shocking, isn't it? I pray, O Lord, that they would be one. Notice what he says. Make them one as we are one, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, verse 21, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them as you loved me. That's one of the most beautiful parts of this prayer, isn't it? The unity here of the Godhead witnessed in this unbreakable love of the Father and the Son, that in their purposes and plans to save, nothing has been able to break that unity. Notice that. Nothing with Jesus on earth has been able to break that perfect, beautiful unity. And Jesus has been saying that this mutual indwelling and unity that has manifested itself in this perfect plan of redemption has unfolded to the ends of the earth in his great love for you. Now, where does he go with this? Well, he says that the glory which you have given me, I've given them, that they may be one. That we are one, as we are one. Remember, at the beginning of John, the Father showed himself through the Son. And remember, Jesus said that the only begotten Son of God has declared him the Father. The glory of God was shown in the face of Jesus Christ, so that when anyone looked and believed in Jesus, Jesus would say they saw the Father. But think about this. Jesus says, Father, the glory that you gave to me now, I have given to them to reveal. So the glory of the Father shown in Jesus, the glory of Christ has been given to us. To be shown in us. That's how Christ was revealed to us. In the Word. Now, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Christ fills you with him. So that the purpose is that we would become one. Now, this is a really important point in the sermon. Jesus gives the purpose that the world may believe that you sent me. The first thing to say here is that if we ever are going to fulfill the purpose for which Jesus left us here, unity is our strongest witness. Did you know that? Unity is our strongest witness. My first inclination as I was working on this week is to stop and say, yeah, but that hasn't seemed to gone real well, has it? This is where the sermon was a bit of a struggle for me. Because here it seems like the prayers failed. All the church splits, all the theological fights, all the separations, all the denominations. Look at how splintered the church is today. Look at all the theological fights we've been through. Look at the split we've known. Still, there's wounds to that. People will often say this, well, that's exactly why I want nothing to do with Christianity. Because of all the divisions. And I want to stop and say to them kindly, that's an excuse. What have you stood for? This is where people say, well, I'm going to move then to the world to find unity. And we have all these causes we can get involved with to try to fix the problems, right? Look at the state of the world. Is it unified? Look at the division. Look at the discord. Look at the fighting. Is it unified? Look at all the competing agendas. You want to know what the world's experience is? This is where Sesame Street's really helpful for the boys and girls. Here's what the world's unity is like. You know this. Five bears in a bed, and one little one said, "I'm crowded, roll over." So they all rolled over, and one fell out. Four bears in the bed, and one little one said, "I'm crowded, roll over." So they all rolled over, and one fell out. Three bears in the bed, and a little one said, "I'm crowded, roll over." So they all rolled over, and one fell out. Two little bears in the bed, and one little one said, "I'm crowded, roll over." So they all rolled over, and one fell out. One little bear in the bed, and the little one said, "I'm lonely." That's the world. All these competing agendas are right in front of you right now. Do you think transgenders pushing out feminists in women's sports is going to go well? They're pushing people right out of the bed in their agendas. So I stopped in this prayer and I said, "What gives with Christianity?" And then I realized I've read this prayer all wrong my whole life. None of this rests on me. Father, I just hope they get along. Got the prayer? Father, I hope it turns out well for them. I'm so distressed. I'm concerned for them, these weak sheep that follow me. They just keep stumbling, and I don't know what to do. I've given them your word, and they've been slow to understand, and they don't keep it very well. And look how fickle they are, and Judas is lost, and I don't know what to do. And Father, they're not really one. Is that how Jesus prayed? Shame on us for taking that glory from him. He just prayed that we'd be one, and guess what? We are. Why do you think the apostles would say there's one body, one spirit, to which we were called with one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all? What do you mean we're not one? Stop using that. One gathering. All over the face of the world today. Same Lord, same gospel, same spirit who dwells in all of us. And by the way, this is so successful that on the last day, we're going to see a multitude from the whole earth throughout all these times and places of a number that no man can number like God promised to Abraham, because that's the fulfillment. What do you mean we're not one? And through all of this, all of the theological fights and splits of what we have to discern the truth, God makes us one. He's talking about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace by those who are truly joined to Jesus. What a celebration. We're one. We're one. See, this is what we do to this prayer as we start at this point and start lecturing the church about all of its failures. This is what we do. And we're not listening to the prayer of Jesus. That doesn't get people up to be one. Listen to the prayer. This is so. That's the single most powerful witness to the world, believe it or not. Pastor tells of a church who had a really bad reputation. History of conflicts and fights and splits and nothing but problems. And the pastor, here's what the pastor said. Many in the church were sick of strife. They were sick of all the division. And as they sat under the gospel ministry, the body began to look a lot like Jesus all of a sudden. Gossip died down. The gifts of the Spirit began to flourish. The bitterness went away. The deacons were faithfully sending flowers and to the hospitalized and sick in the community. Hot meals were taken to chronically ill persons. The spirit of prayer and intercession began to come alive in the church meetings. Visitors were impressed by a new attentiveness in Sunday worship. It wasn't just the old tradition. They were believing it. One of them, Mark, before when I visited, everyone read their bulletins and just looked around. No one was engaged. The youth were all disconnected. But now they listen like a hungry people. The change is so mysterious, it's frightening. This is what the gospel ministry does. It unites us. It's his power to do this. You're one. You know that? The Father heard this. The Father answered this. And you're proof. You're proof. I'm not turning this into a beating session. That's not what this prayer is. One more request today to close. So think of the two things so far. I pray, O Lord, that the same word and ministry, that the word that you gave me to tell, that I told them, that they would go, and for all those in the future who haven't believed yet, that this would continue to go on, it's been answered. Here we are. I pray that they would be one as we are one. He has answered. Here we are. But one more thing today to close this prayer out. Here's the most overwhelming part. Verse 24. Now listen to this. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world is not known, but I've known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. My desire, listen to this, my desire is that they would receive the full reward for everything that I did for them. My desire is that they would be with me where I am, and that they would behold my glory. I want you to let that set in just for a second. I long to be with them. Do you hear your God saying this? I long to be with you, face to face. That you'll see my face, says Jesus, in the beatific vision, the glory that is mine. I want them to have that. I love them that much, and I want them to know that you love them that much. Father, I desire this also, that whom you've given me, they may be where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. I'm not sure there's anything more beautiful in this prayer than that. Let it set in today. Meditate on it. Father, I want them to be with me. You think he doesn't love you? Why do you think he went through all this? I want them to be with me, to see my glory. You imagine what that's going to be like, beloved? I can't. I think that's why the apostle said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." The glory of heaven, the glory of glory, is to be in the face and presence of Jesus. And to think he's going to come and talk to me. But for now, there's a very important reason that hasn't happened. What is that reason? The world needs to know. That the world may know. All my elect need to be brought in. When the last of the elect come in, then the end comes. I've declared your name, and I will declare it. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're left here. That's why we have a short time left in this life. It is for other people, not for you. It's that other people would know. And this is the beauty of it. That's why we're still doing this today. That's why you need this today. This is how you're kept through this wonderful word. And that he's still declaring his name today. And to think of the little ones sitting next to you who haven't professed faith yet. They need to know. And your neighbor needs to know. And your friend who's in darkness needs to know. That's why you're here. I want to give them the glory now, oh Father. I want to take them now. But we've got to go get the rest of them. Then it comes. That's the message of John 17. What a fitting conclusion to this prayer. May the love with which you loved me be in them and I in them. For when they love one another, all people will know that they are my disciples by the love that they have for one another. That's John 17, beloved. And next week he goes to the cross. As you think about the love of God, the height, width, and depth of the love of God for you, simply receive it, believe it, marvel over it, and understand what he's done and accomplished. That's how great the love with which he loved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a moment to stand and to be in the counsel of God and listen to what is so. Evidence is all around us. The ministry of the word has continued from the beginning. We're still doing this. The gospel's still being preached. You're still gathering a people who are saved in the same message with one spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one hope. And then encouraging us at the end, the only reason you haven't taken us home yet is because we have a purpose here and you're still gathering all of the sheep. But to hear the truth that our God longs to be with us face to face is overwhelming. Soften our hearts through this. Give us believing hearts. And let us be a people, O Lord, who understand who we are now in love for one another because of the great love with which we've been loved. Bless us, O Lord, in understanding. And thank you for cheering our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I look at this prayer recorded for us in John 17, and I find myself amazed every time I read it. And we trust you find yourself amazed as we've explored it together.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Pastor Chris will be back here in just a moment to close out our program with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. 8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small, no gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully.
Well, as promised, once again, let's return to Pastor Chris for a sneak peek at tomorrow's program as we move into John chapter 18 and Jesus entering into the Garden of Gethsemane and the significance that we see between the first Adam and the second.
Here's the last Adam. He stepped into the garden. He's crossed over the valley of the shadow of death. There are dry bones. It's the valley of bones, a place of ashes. And he's standing in our place to pick up where the first Adam lost everything.
Well, that is tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll see you then.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.